What's up, Yap Squad, and welcome back to the Yap Sesh podcast. My name is Sawyer. I'm here with my co-host, Brooke, and we are a fangirl podcast where we discuss all things fandom and nerdy and shipping. And we hope to share the experiences of women and queer fans everywhere. And you can find us on Spotify and our YouTube channel. Make sure to subscribe and follow so you never miss an episode.
Hell yeah. What's up? How's it going?
You know, this heat's really killing us over here on the East Coast, isn't it?
It's real bad. It's real bad. Yeah. It's real hot. I'm dying every day.
You know what else is hot?
The Acolyte.
Yeah.
With our... I say we keep this in the episode because I want everyone to know that Billy is learning how to cook.
Yay!
And if you can hear that, that is the fire alarm. So yeah, we had a great conversation talking all about the Star Wars community as a whole with Isabella Amidala, who was awesome, creator extraordinaire. I feel like she does everything. But mm-hmm. And we recorded this like literally over a month ago, and we're just now able to release it. So I feel like a lot of things have happened in the Star Wars community specifically in that time. So I'm actually excited to be able to share this with everyone because it highlights a lot of the very positive things that have come out of the Star Wars community, which I think we all need right now. So
yes, absolutely. Yeah. So without further ado, let's get right into it.
Yappers, we are here with a very special guest today, Isabella Amidala, as you may know from her cosplay content and her extensive merch collections and wonderful videos all over social media. But by all means, why don't you introduce yourself to us?
Sure. Well, hello, I'm Isabella. It's nice to meet all of you guys listening. I am just obsessed with Star Wars, and I love sharing my fandom and fashion online. I share a lot of like Disney bound and cosplay stuff. My husband is an artist, so we go to different comic conventions around the United States. And we also have a podcast called Punch a Chewy Podcast. And yeah, Star Wars has just like completely consumed my life. And I've made some of my very best friends through this. And it's always been like my happy place, my safe place. And I like to encourage as many people as I can to join this space and be a part of it. So yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for being here. I was going to say like we became mutuals through, I think, TikTok, but I know I feel like you've been doing things online for a lot longer. So what came first? Was it your podcast? Was it your merch and stuff that you sell? Like how long have you been doing it for?
Yeah. So I have been posting online since 2015. But it started as a Disney pin trading account. So, even before like the Disney influencer, the park goer, the Disney bound, like before all of that, my husband and I started Disney pin trading. So we had like whenever we go as kids with our family, we would like buy 2-3 pins, right? And we would collect them. But in 2015, we learned that there were like meetups at the park. So every Sunday they would have meetups where people would bring their pin collections and you could like trade with other pin collectors or you could trade in the park and stuff. So that became like one of the hobbies that we both really enjoyed when we first started dating. That was like something we liked to do together. And about a year into that, we noticed that fans started making their own pins. So they would make like mashups. So they would do like Baymax mashed up with, you know, like Mulan, and they do like different, like two different Disney IPs, but they would like mash it together. And my husband was an artist, but at the time he like didn't really share his art, you know? So he was making art, but not really like sharing it. And I was like, we should make a pin. Like, that would be cool. Like, all of our friends are doing it. Like, we should do something. So he's like, okay, what should we do? And the very first pin we made was called Hawaiian Bounty Hunting. So it was Stitch, but he was captured by Boba Fett. So it was like, oh, because there's a bounty out on Stitch, but it's Boba. So that was like our first mashup. And we've been doing that now. So we started making our own pins in 2016. We're like about to hit our 8-year mark, I think. So that's kind of how that started, of like posting online, was just like Disney pin trading. But then with like the Force Awakens and all of that, like this kind of new era of Star Wars, people were getting really excited for that coming up. So that's when like the like news kind of like reporter Instagram started popping up, like all those like infographics of like Star Wars facts and like stuff like that. But it wasn't until 2020 when I went on TikTok. So we would post like our fandom like here and there. We would, you know, post what we were excited about, what we were collecting, but it wasn't until TikTok where I made my own account and started posting about my fandom. And it was really, I think, the excitement for the Kenobi series, because Anakin Skywalker is my favorite character. And I never, ever, ever thought that we would see Hayden and Ewan even like going to cons again, not even like back in Star Wars. So that whole like revival, like, I mean, you guys experienced it, right? Like TikTok, there was this huge boom of like Star Wars on TikTok, of people getting excited about new projects and talking and like theorizing and cosplaying and all that stuff. So that's kind of, you know, that was kind of 2020 to now has been like TikTok, Instagram, all that, you know. But yeah, it's kind of crazy to think back like where it started, and like I had no idea it was going to turn into like Star Wars being my entire life, like all day, every day.
It's fun though.
Yeah.
Time.
Yeah. It's definitely like changed over the years. Like we've kind of seen different like versions of Star Wars online. But it's just been really refreshing, because like, you know, when we were growing up, we were too young to be on the internet, right? So the discourse was like 50-year-old men on forums, like, oh my god, I can't believe they made Vader a bitch. Like, you know, we were there, but like we weren't really like part of the conversation. So I feel like Instagram and TikTok really helped that like next generation, you know, the prequel generation of fans, to like really be able to like meet other people who liked what they liked. And like, I think that's the best part of the internet. There's, you know, obviously good and bad, but I think the ability to reach so many people who are similar to you, even if you live like on the opposite side of the world, I think is really special. And that's my favorite part of doing this, is like the community and like being a part of something bigger than just myself, I guess, I think is really cool.
Yeah. And that's a good way to introduce our topic for today. We always ask our guests to throw out some ideas of things that they would like to talk about, because our whole podcast goal is to, you know, share the experiences and stories of other female and femme fans and creators. So you picked community in Star Wars, which is really exciting, because we've talked a little bit about it on our other episodes. We had an episode where we talked about the lightsaber community, but talking about it as a whole is going to be really exciting. Yeah. But I wanted to ask first, because we've been asking everyone, since we're fangirls in this house, do you have a fate? I feel like it would be safe to say that Star Wars is your favorite fandom.
Yes.
But growing up, did you have a different favorite fandom, or did you have a first fandom that you remember being a part of, or like a community that you remember being engaged with? I know a lot of other guests that we've had have talked about their time like on Tumblr, talking about, you know, the Super Hulocks and different shows and stuff like that. So I'd love to hear about your experience as a fan growing up.
Yeah, so it's funny because I see a lot of comparisons to how this was received, especially as like how people perceive the fans. But the first fandom I was a part of was the Twilight fandom. So I was in fifth grade when I like got a hold of Twilight. So my cousin was like, oh my God, I read these books. Like, you have to read them. Like, it's about a vampire. And like, they're like fighting over her, like, you know. And I was just like, it was funny because that was like when I first started like liking boys, right? It was like starting to have crushes and like starting to kind of enter that, like, you know, like you're a teenager, right? So I remember like reading all the books, I was obsessed. And then, like you just mentioned, Tumblr was like really the original like fandom space where you could find like niche things, you know what I mean? And like, it felt like one of the more safe spaces to like, you know, just be unhinged and like post your fanfics and post your fan art. So Tumblr was definitely like my kind of introduction to fandom spaces online. Cause like, obviously you grow up, you're like fans of different things, but you think it's just you, or like, you don't really have access to reach other people who like that. So it was just like, you know, me and my friends at school that liked it, but that was the first time I like went online and I was like, oh, there's other people who also like this and are like talking about it and stuff. So yeah. Twilight was my first like fan, like official fandom. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And you can be a lot more anonymous on Tumblr too. So I feel like it's a good segue or a good gateway for younger fans. I mean, I feel like our age group grew up with internet safety being like, oh, Stranger Danger, and like To Catch a Predator or whatever that show was, where it was like, you know, don't tell people your name or your age or where you live, like anything like that. And we had a great episode talking about shipping, but we talked a lot about just like fandom culture online and how a lot of like kids these days don't have that same, they have like more unrestricted access to the internet. And it's been such an interesting shift to see where these like younger people are and how they fit into our community too, which I'm sure we can get into more as we get through. But I wanted to ask this as well. I feel like I've got a nice little set of questions now that I've been asking all of our guests that I'm just genuinely curious by. Since you've been online for a long time and been in the fandom space, has your experience changed as you've become like more of a presence online or a bigger creator? As you've delved into more like professional opportunities, you know, you go to a lot of conventions as well. So I wanted to know if your experience has changed, especially just as women, we have a unique experience in such a, hopefully not really as male dominated, but still it kind of has, you still get that kind of idea when you first think of the Star Wars fandom or fandom culture, it's more male dominated. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah. So I feel like I actually have a very interesting kind of perspective on this, because when we first started posting, we were Star Wars Pins for Days. So that was like our pin trading account. And it was like an account that both my husband and I were on, but he was like kind of the person people associated the account with. So I could literally see how people would react to a comment from him versus a comment from like, say, my separate account. So I could literally like see the difference between how people reacted to a man saying their opinion about Star Wars versus a woman saying even the same thing. Like, we have a lot of the same opinions, but
yeah,
people just put it through this filter. And like, so I've definitely noticed like, or like that was like, you know, almost 10 years ago now. But it's been interesting, as you guys know, being a female Star Wars fan, it just comes with this additional test, this additional requirement of like, you have to prove that you're a fan. Like, you can't just say, oh my God, I love Star Wars, what's your favorite movie? Like, there has to be this quiz of like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean you like Star Wars? Or like, oh, I bet you like those movies, right? I don't, that's not Star Wars. Like,
yeah, no, there's a right answer to it. Like, exactly. It's not just prove your knowledge. It's prove your knowledge, but also prove that you share my opinion.
Exactly. And I think that's just so silly and so like outdated. It's just like, I think the Star Wars community is one of the absolute best communities to be a part of, but it also has one of the nastiest group of gatekeepers. And that's why I make it such a point with my content and with my presence online to make people feel welcome. Because I know it took me, like, so we started posting in 2015. I didn't post until 2020 on an account of my own, like my face, my name. So it took me 5 years of being in the Star Wars community to feel enough confidence that I knew enough, that I was enough, that I'd been around enough to like give my opinion and like my two cents on stuff. So I think that's changed a lot in the past couple of years. And I want to continue to like push that of like, everyone is welcome in this fandom. And I think everyone, I understand why people feel scared to come in, but I want to make sure that, well, you know, if you're on my page, you're going to feel safe and you're going to feel welcome. And like, I will fight the haters to keep my space safe for everyone. You know what I mean? So.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think all of us can attest to that. And, you know, even just yesterday, I made a video about Kathleen Kennedy's comments. And, the comments of that video, and I knew, you can't interact in this space without, like, as a woman, without preparing yourself for at least, even if it's just the one comment, it's gonna happen. But there was this guy, and he was like, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, because I posted on Twitter, but he was like threatening me. He was like, well, maybe you need to empathize with men, and maybe they won't be so hostile to you anymore. And I was like, whoa, pal, like that's crazy.
Well, all the comments of like people that were like, oh, well, if you just like wrote a better woman character, then we wouldn't act this way. And I'm like, so you're justifying your malice because you don't like how something is written. And that makes it okay to like bully a woman online for just enjoying something. Like the math, the logic behind it, there is no logic. And
the mental gymnastics.
The mental gymnastics it takes to just. And that's what it's gotten, I think, I don't know if I'm desensitized, but I just don't have the same energy to respond to that kind of thing anymore. And I think I've just experienced enough where it's not going to matter what I say, because I am not going to change that person's mind. Like once, like 1 in 100 people maybe that comment something hateful like that on a video of mine, I'll respond to, and they'll actually be like, wow, I understand your perspective, and maybe I have to like think about this. But like the other 99, it's pointless and it's not worth it, and I'm protecting my own peace by just ignoring it. I get more satisfaction out of just deleting those comments than responding to them. And I think just thinking that, you know, someone is going to come back and be like, oh, I wonder if she responded to my hate comment, and then they see that it was deleted. Like, that gives me more satisfaction than anything.
But on a lighter note, let's get into the meat of the conversation and talk about why this is such a wonderful community to be a part of. And we can just start by, you know, what was your first introduction to Star Wars? I know that I grew up with it. Brooke found it later in life. So we always like to learn where everybody found themselves immersed in the fandom. What got you?
So I have an older brother. He is 6 years older than me. So growing up, I was always around Star Wars. He watched all the movies. And he had a lot of like toys, right, growing up. But like, so I was 2 years old when The Phantom Menace came out. So I don't really remember too much of when the movies were in theater. But I remember like my neighbors playing with my neighbors. We would play with like lightsabers and Nerf guns and stuff like that. So like, I was always around Star Wars. But I was a little too young when they came out, like the prequel trilogy came out, to be like obsessed with them. But then the Clone Wars came out and I started dating my husband my boyfriend at the time was obsessed with Star Wars. Like, it's his whole life. So we sat down and we watched everything up until that point. So this was before the Force Awakens came out. And I think just being a little bit older and kind of understanding more mature topics with the films, because like these are heavy topics, right? We're talking about war, we're talking about genocide, we're talking about what war does to humanity, and you know, we're talking about religion and race and morality and all these things that what I think is so special about Star Wars is it's able to break those topics down and teach them to such a young audience. So it wasn't until I sat down and watched 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3 again. Once I finished Revenge of the Sith, it was like something clicked. And I was like, I need more. Like, I need more. Like, I had watched the Clone Wars. I'd seen a little bit of Rebels. So we sat down and, like, we watched everything. We started reading the comics, getting into the books and, like, the games and stuff. So I didn't realize really how much there was to Star Wars, because, like, when you're kind of just a casual fan, right, like, you've seen the movies, you've probably watched some of the animated stuff. But I couldn't get enough. I was like, oh, what is this? And how is this connected to that? And what's the explanation for this? And like, to this day, I'm still doing that because, you know, I've got almost 50 years worth of content at this point. And I think that's a funny thing about a lot of these gatekeepers is like, there's probably a handful of people that have actually read every book, read every comic, watched every show, played every game all the way through. Like, there's so much to enjoy. It like kind of makes me sad when people see it as like a checklist and see it as like something to complete versus like just something to enjoy and kind of unravel. And like, you know, if you like a certain game and you like, oh, you really like the Night Sisters, it's like, okay, well then go play this game because this explains a lot of stuff, or like read this book about them. Like, I think it's a beautiful thing to always be learning and to like admit that. I think anyone that thinks that they know everything about Star Wars or anything about any fandom is like, you don't. Like, let's be real, you don't. Like, probably only George knows that much about Star Wars. And there's a lot that he doesn't know now, right? That he's kind of like taken a step back. So I always try to approach Star Wars as like, you don't know everything, but that's fine. You know, we're always learning new things, and like, that's why the gatekeeping aspect of it just gets so like tired to me, because I'm like, it's not that serious, right? The point of like being a fan is to have fun. And when it gets like competitive and weird, it's just like love your fandom however you want, but don't let it take away from how other people are loving their fandom. And that's kind of where I've like, you know, kind of drawn the line for me at least.
Yeah. And I think that Star Wars is, you know, a bit unique in where it sits in the grand scheme of fiction, because it is a little bit sci-fi, a lot of bit fantasy. It's a space opera that has existed for 50 years. So the breadth of it and the amount of people from all walks of life that have been able to contribute to the lore of Star Wars, whether it be the expanded universe or canon, so many different types of people have touched Star Wars and added their own personal experiences to it, which means that there's something for everyone to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I think that the expectation, I think that there are a lot of people that have this expectation that you try to be an encyclopedia, and that kind of takes the joy out of it a little bit, because, you know, I am not a history buff, but I have friends who are total history buffs, and so they love the Clone Wars and they love the politics of Andor. And, you know, then I'm a scientist, so I like the really obscure, weird stuff about the universe that I can pull, or the way that the comparisons I can draw from the fictional stories into real world science, you know, like, there are a variety of ways to enjoy Star Wars. There's not just one, like, you know, if we were kind of like, you know, it's not that kind of content and that kind of enjoyment certainly has its place. I mean, I'm one to talk. I'm on the spectrum. I definitely have my hyperfixations and my special interests where I know everything about a topic, but it also becomes very rigid in the way that we can interact. You know, like, which is why I love Yap Sesh and I believe in our podcast, because like I want to hear other people's stories about how they're engaged with the same story that I love, someone else is loving in a completely different way. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Yeah.
It's interesting that, like, just because Star Wars has such a vast canon, but, you know, you get your average Joe who likes Star Wars. You talk to them on the street. They like the movies. Maybe they've watched The Mandalorian. There's this whole... there's the video games, the comics, the books. There's this whole other subset that a lot of fans that are still fans don't know about. So it gets to me, it gets tiresome when someone who's excited about something, and I've seen this happen with like new creators who are trying to post their silly Star Wars videos or talk about Star Wars online. It's like, it's impossible to know everything. If you do, if you know everything about Star Wars, I applaud you. But also maybe, I don't know, watch something else once in a while because it takes up so much time. Like, I don't know, for example, someone being excited to see Ventress return in The Bad Batch, but you have, you know, five other fans that might be like, well, I'm pissed because now this retcons Dark Disciple, when like that fan who really liked Ventress in the Clone Wars probably didn't know that Dark Disciple even existed. And now you've like dampened their experience. Yeah, I think there's a nice way or a right way. I'd be like, wow, I'm so glad you love Ventress so much. You should really check out the books that she's in. I didn't know if you knew that there were Star Wars books. Like, there's a way to say it and there's a way to not say it.
Yeah, you know, definitely. Yeah. And honestly, the way I kind of look at Star Wars is I'm a huge fan of Legends. But I know a lot of Legends fans have like a negative connotation associated with them because those fans can oftentimes be the most gatekeepy and the most like Disney Star Wars, man. Like, but I think just like how the Marvel universe has two timelines, like there's the cinematic universe and there's a comic book universe. I see Star Wars the same way. You know, there's the Legends timeline and there's the canon timeline. And Star Wars is so huge at this point. Nothing would ever get made. Nothing new would ever get made if people had to really like dissect every little thing that has ever come before it. And yes, we want continuity, but not at the sake of like not being able to have the creativity to tell new stories. So the way that I look at Star Wars, you know, it's a galaxy far, far away, long time ago, is I like to see it as like folklore. So
yeah,
there are many stories on Earth that are in different parts of Earth, and they have very similar, like a similar main character and a similar kind of story, but maybe the beats are a little bit different in between, but we get the same outcome, you know? So I like to look at Star Wars as like, yeah, maybe Luke was this character who had a family, who had a wife and had kids and like did this whole thing. Maybe Luke didn't have a family. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, we can enjoy both story, like both versions of that. And I think that's even cooler to have so much about a character or about different eras that there's like multiple versions of it. Like, people say they love what ifs. Like, I always hear people like, oh my God, I love what ifs. I love seeing like, and I'm like, okay, so isn't Legends Luke just a what if? And isn't The Last Jedi Luke just a what if? Like, why can't we look at it like that? Why does it have to be like, no, it's this or it isn't this? Like, it takes the fun out of enjoying it. And I think that it just comes back to like the point of being a fan is to enjoy it. And I want everyone to enjoy it, even if they don't agree with me. You know, like, I still want them to enjoy what they're watching, what they're reading. And that has been for me the best way to kind of like approach it. And like, when I'll talk to people online, I'm like, it's great that you like that version. Just like it and let other people like the other version. I don't understand the need to get everyone to agree with you online. Like, I don't know. I think that's such a like a backwards way of approaching it, I guess.
I think it was Darth Chaco that made this analogy of like you walk into a restaurant and you get the same thing every time, and all of a sudden they've added all these new things to the menu, but they still have what you order every time, but you're complaining like, why is XYZ on the menu? And it's like, well, everything that came before it is still there. And you can enjoy that thing that you like. If you really like are a diehard original trilogy stan, or you only like Legends content, you don't like the new stuff, it's like, it's still there for you to enjoy. And there's new Legends content, at least with the MMO, with SWTOR, they're still putting out new content. And it's like, it's still like, to me, that argument of, oh, well, I don't like this thing, it's like, okay, well, you can still go back. I make the analogy, like, I have discovered about myself that I can be a little bit of a, like, a source material elitist, at least when it comes to, like, books and video games that have been adapted that I like. So, like, The Last of Us, for example, the show was amazing, incredible, wonderful. I still find myself going back to the video game more often than watching the show. But, like, they both still exist, and they're both still there, and so I'll just play the game if I want. I'm not going to complain about people who are watching the show. Like, I don't know. It's an interesting concept. I really like the idea of it being called Legends, though. To me, in canon, the galaxy is so big, it would make sense. Like, in our culture, or in our world, we have different cultures. We'll have, like you said, a different version of the same story, just told in a different way. And how stories for the longest time before we had paper and parchment that we could write things down and document, like, stories were told by word of mouth. And so the idea that these legends were passed down on these planets from people to people is, like, so interesting to me. So, like, sure, maybe the legend of Revan or the legend of Bane or whatever these Old Republic characters might not be exactly how it is if we were to create a canon version of the story, but that doesn't mean that, like, the legend is any less important or doesn't, like, exist. And I think that's really cool. Just, like, in universe, the idea of it is really interesting to me.
Yeah. I think that's what makes Star Wars feel so real, is that we have, like, so many stories and so many versions of these stories. And even within, like, a game, a book, and a comic book of the same exact story that, you know, came out, like, in the early 2000s when they were doing stuff like that, there would be different endings. So there was a different ending of the game versus the comic versus the book, which was cool, because then it was like, well, now I want to play the game because it's not going to be the exact same thing as the book, or I want to read the comic because I'm getting art that I didn't get in the book. So I think that's all awesome. I'm like, give me more Star Wars. I don't understand the mentality of, like, it has to be this one specific way. I think, like, that analogy that he made was perfect of, like, yeah, there's new things on the menu, but you can keep enjoying what you're enjoying. It doesn't take away from what you like. So
yeah. And it doesn't go away. You know, someone once said to me, I am a big fan of the Old Republic. I don't talk about it as much as I used to, but big fan of the Old Republic. I'm a Revan cosplayer. You're a Revan cosplayer. You know, I love those stories, and I think that they are still as strong today as they were in the early 2000s. But someone once said to me, Sawyer, how can you justify what they've done to the Mandalorians, because the Old Republic is very heavy on Mandalorian lore. And there are some similarities and some differences, but first of all, the lore from that era, thousands of years behind where we currently are at in Star Wars canon. And so it could still exist if you wanted it to. But also, to me, it's like, I think some people tend to look at it like, they interpret it as like a worse remake of an original story.
A perversion.
Exactly. But that's not what it is. It is a completely different story that's being told.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so I was like, no, like, what do you mean? I have this really cool Mandalorian story in canon now with amazing characters like Sabine and Bo-Katan. Mm-hmm. And then I also have all of the Old Republic comics that I can go read. They're still there. Yeah. They didn't disappear.
Like, yeah.
I can still read them, or I can still go play the MMO, or I can still go play the original KOTOR games, and like, that's all right there for me. They're not disappeared. And they have stopped publishing some of the material, but a lot of those books are still very easily purchasable.
Yeah. They're still in stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When we heard that you wanted to talk about Star Wars community, I was like, wow, that's a big topic, because there are so many different like little subsets of the Star Wars community that you can get into. You have, you know, if you're a cosplayer and you want to get into Star Wars cosplay, you have cosplay that you can do for fun, but then you can also join things like the Rebel Legion and the 501st that you can do on a, like, it's a mainly a charity basis, but you have to have like a professional level costume. So mm-hmm. there are people that are into that. You've got your lightsaber community. You have your podcast, YouTube content creator community, which we are all a part of, obviously. You have your prop building, your droid builders, your small shops that make amazing merchandise and things that, you know, the officially licensed stuff doesn't come out with. As I mean, they've gotten a lot better, I think, with merch over time, but still, like, I always look for the small shop stuff still first. Mm-hmm. You've got your Star Wars book community, the people that are really into the books. And then you have like your community based on what your favorite part of Star Wars is. So if you really love the High Republic, there is a whole group of people that also really love the High Republic. And I think it's also interesting to say that I feel like there is a difference between being a fan of something and then being a part of the community, because for a long time I would consider myself just a Star Wars fan. I was consuming the content, but I wasn't actively engaging with it, especially like I wasn't online. I was going on Tumblr once in a while. I was looking at like when TikTok first became more popular, I think it was right around 2019. When the excitement for the Rise of Skywalker was hyped up, I was watching people post, but I wasn't like actively engaging. And I don't think you don't have to be like a content creator. You don't have to make your own content to be a part of the community. But there is, I think, a difference between being like a passive fan and then being more actively engaged with the community. So I don't know where I was going. I don't know if I have a question there, but like there's just so many different parts of the community that you can get into.
I remind you, this is Yap Sesh.
I was yapping. I don't know. I guess I would ask like what are your favorite aspects of the community? Where do you find yourself? Like what bubbles do you find yourself in the most? And what do you appreciate the most about it?
Yeah, I kind of have dipped my toes into everything you mentioned. I'm not a part of any of the official costuming groups, but I am friends with like a ton of them, and I always have people asking me like, "You should join," and I'm like, "But I like making like unhinged cosplays. I like doing gender bent cosplays. I like wearing comfortable cosplays.
Oh yeah,
like I have a full Vader cosplay. I will never wear a helmet. I won't. Like
that's so valid.
it's too hot. Like I have sensitivity. Like I get migraines easily. So I'm like, yes, it would be so cool to walk around in a full Darth Vader suit, but I want to have fun, you know? So,
but you know what? I always say, like, I find myself as a cosplayer sometimes tied down to the idea of making something like as screen accurate as possible. But then when I go to conventions or I see cosplays online, the ones that I remember the most are the really creative ones. So like, I love seeing your like Empress Amidala and your Renaissance Fair Mando. Like those are so creative to me. And I think that's there's such a fun, there's something fun about not being like tied down to having it be, you know, perfect or screen accurate.
Yeah.
And cosplay, and it's just as good. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like TikTok had a big part in that of really opening up the accessibility to cosplay, because before TikTok, if you were posting cosplays on Instagram, 99% of the time they were screen accurate, which is awesome. Like, I have so much love and respect for people who have the time and energy and talent to do that. But I think it can be very harmful to have this like expectation or this, like, not everyone has, like, a Darth Vader cosplay, for example, is between $6,000 and $8,000. So who, like, when not a lot of people have that kind of spare money lying around, right? And also not everyone has access to, like, learning how to sew. Like, yes, we have YouTube and stuff like that, but there's a lot of stuff that goes into, okay, now I need to buy a sewing machine. I need to buy these fabrics. I need to buy, you know, whatever material that goes into it, 3D printing, any kind of prop making, or if you're making, like, leather belts, that, like, every little tiny, like, hobby of, like, you know, of making things takes years and years and a lot of money. Cosplay is very expensive. So what I really love are, like, they're called, like, closet cosplays. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, similar to a Disney bound, but it's essentially, like, making a cosplay with stuff you already own. And, you know, maybe buying one or two things, maybe buying an accessory or a prop. But I love that because it really opens up the possibilities. And that's a great way to get into cosplaying, because if you've never cosplayed before and you want to jump straight into making a screen accurate cosplay, you're probably going to get burnt out. Like, you're probably going to get overwhelmed and just give up. So that's why I really like doing a mix of, like, I have, you know, stuff that's more accurate. I have stuff that's like, what the hell is that? But I think that's what makes it fun. And like you're saying, like, it really brings out the creative side in me, because yes, I could, you know, look at something and zoom in and make it exactly that way. But to me, that's not really challenging. Like for me as like a creative, like, I understand that other people, like, that's their thing. They're like, no, I want to get it as accurate as possible. I want to meet the actor that played this character. I want to take a picture with them. Like, I think that's awesome. But I think, like, there really needs to be more open discussions about, like, there isn't one right way to cosplay. And I think that people would, like, I feel like a lot more people would cosplay if more people would talk about that. But, like, on Instagram especially, it can be very, like, competitive. It can get very, like, I don't look enough like the character, or, like, I don't have that, like, you know, that prop gun that costs $2,000 or whatever it is. So I always try to make a point with my content to be, like, there's a spectrum of cosplay and, like, accuracy, and, like, just start where you can and make upgrades. And over time, you can probably get your cosplay to be screen accurate if that's something you want to do. But just, like, enjoy the process. Don't get caught up in, like, oh, it's not perfect, so I'm never going to wear it. Because mm-hmm. I've been there, and it's not fun.
It is. It's a hard thing to break out of. And that's why I've really enjoyed doing the, like, crossover cosplays. I've done for the last two celebrations. I have, like, mixed something Star Wars with, like, another franchise. So back at Anaheim, it was right after Peacemaker had come out. And so I was like, what if I did Vigilante and his armor, but with a Mandalorian helmet? So, like, Vigilante Mandalorian. I thought that was so fun. And, like, James Gunn, I tagged him on it on Twitter, and he retweeted it. And so, like, that was so cool. Like, that's more satisfaction that I will ever need than someone being like, oh, my God, your costume is so accurate. And then last year for London, because it was right after The Last of Us came out, and Pedro Pascal is both the Mandalorian and Joel Miller, I was like, what would be perfect if not dressing... I made my boyfriend, who doesn't cosplay, put a Mandalorian helmet on with Joel's backpack and little flashlight. And I had my little Grogu ears on my Ellie costume. And we were Joel and Ellie, who dressed up as the Mandalorian and Grogu. And like, those are so fun to me. And I think it is more of a cesspool on the internet of getting caught up with having to have a perfect costume, because I've always had incredibly positive experiences when I go to a con. Like when you actually go to a con, if you have like the access to go to one and you get to see other people that are dressed in cosplays that you as you are the same characters of all different like levels of skill. And it's always so fun. Like I'm never gonna, you know, dress as like Cal Kestis and see another Cal Kestis and be like, wow, well, my Cal Kestis is so much more accurate than their Cal- you know, I'm just like, oh my God, another Cal Kestis. This is so cool. And like I said, I always remember the more creative costumes than I'll remember like, wow, that was a really good Darth Vader cosplay, you know?
Yeah.
So not like, to say that people that can pull off the screen accuracy, it is impressive when you can do that. But I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I respect the crap out of people who can do it, but I'm like, have I ever done something like that? Oh yeah. I think once I was Elphaba from the musical Wicked as a Jedi. I did that once.
Ooh,
but
that's cool.
I don't know.
Yeah, so speaking of Star Wars Celebration, we've all gone to Star Wars Celebration before, and I think that is like honestly the best thing. If you ever get the chance to go to Star Wars Celebration, if you're a Star Wars fan, it is like everyone loves Star Wars that goes. Like you don't spend that kind of money to go to a convention that you're not like a huge fan of. So it's just a crazy, mostly positive, like fun environment. Like it's one of my favorite cons that I've ever gone to.
Yeah, definitely. I think it kind of feels like a family reunion, and it's cool because like especially at the one in Anaheim, because I'm from San Diego, a lot of my like mutuals are kind of like Southern California, or like they were able to travel to California. I got to meet so many of my mutuals there, which was so cool because like I haven't seen them since, right? But it's just such a cool way to meet fans. Like, even people you don't know, like, you're just waiting in line for lunch, and someone's like, oh, I like your pin, or I like your shirt, and, like, you start talking. Like, I made some of our closest friends at, I think it was Orlando. We were waiting in line to buy pins from, like, the Celebration store. And someone complimented our pin, and we were like, oh, we actually made that. And they were like, what? Like, you can do that? You can make pins? We're like, yeah, like, that's what we do. We love doing it. And we, like, exchanged information, and we see them every celebration. And, like, we go to Disneyland sometimes and, like, hang out. And it's just, like, you wouldn't have done that if you were in line at, like, I don't know, some, like, a restaurant, or, like, you're walking around Target. Mm-hmm. Like, you would feel like, oh, it'd be weird if I, like, said anything, like, what if they judge me, or like, you know, it's just, but at Celebration, it's like, there's just kind of this mutual understanding of like, we're all here for the same reason, like, we're all just excited to be here, and like, the energy is unlike any show, because I've done a lot of conventions, and Star Wars Celebration is like, I don't know, it almost feels alive, like it's its own kind of beast in the best way, I don't know, but yeah, like you were saying, if you guys ever have a chance to go, highly recommend going.
So how many celebrations have you been to?
I've been to Orlando, I think was 2017. I went to Chicago 2019, I believe. And then I didn't go to London, but I went to Anaheim. And then we just got our tickets for Japan. So whoa. I'm really excited. I was bummed to miss London, but it was just like, there's too much going on in my life, like personally. And then like it's traveling to Europe. Right. But they're all like a little bit different. And it's obviously like depending on kind of what they're promoting for that celebration. But I think Anaheim was my favorite because that was the first time I built my own cosplay. So before I had like bought costumes, which is absolutely totally fine. But that was the first time I made my own cosplay, and I did my Geonosis Padme. And it's just such a different experience when you cosplay at a convention. Like it's the most immersive I think you can be. And it's so fun because like Halloween is my favorite holiday. Like I always love dressing up. So when I learned about cosplay, I was like, you don't have to like wait till Halloween to dress up. Like, we can just do this. Well, not whenever, right? But like at a convention, like I was immediately hooked when I like found out that people were doing this. It's like, this is so cool.
I think I'll always have a special place in my heart for Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, because I think for a lot of us, it was the first Star Wars Celebration that we got to go to, and mm-hmm. the first Star Wars Celebration that we got to go to after becoming more active online. So like I met a ton of my friends that I had been talking to and doing watch parties with online at 3 a.m. watching The Mandalorian or whatever new Star Wars thing was coming out. So it was like a very exhilarating experience. And now like the people that I've met, they're not just like my internet friends anymore. It's like, these are just my friends, and it's so cool.
Yeah.
You're right. It is like a different energy that's in there. I think because when you go to a regular convention, you have people that are coming for every fandom or everything. Because conventions mm-hmm. are, if you've never been to a convention, they have changed a lot, I think, over time from being just about comics, despite them being called comic cons.
Yeah.
Now it's like any, and not even just like the nerdy stuff. Like if you like a television show, you'll probably go and find either an actor from that show or a table that is selling merchandise from that show. Or maybe if you like tabletop games, it's a huge place for tabletop D&D stuff. So, which is a great, like I've never had a terribly negative experience at a con. But when you're all going because you're all a part of this same fandom and you're all sharing this excitement for this same thing, is like such a different experience that it's hard to explain without like
experiencing
it yourself.
Yeah. I think the only thing that might be a little like, in all the cons I've been to, I think the only possibly comparable thing would be like New York Comic Con or San Diego Comic Con, like just mm-hmm. because those are the really big, really famous Comic Cons where a lot of the big name stuff is dropped or announced. But you know, Celebration is just, you know, it is, if you've been to cons and then you go to Celebration, it's like kind of an adjustment because it's everything is Star Wars. It's just Star Wars. But it's a testament to how big and far reaching the fandom is, because there's enough, I mean, and it's not just all Star Wars, it's the size of those bigger Comic Cons too. So it's pretty crazy that, you know, and when you combine all of the different communities, you know, props and cosplay and gaming and tabletop and merch collectors, it's all there. It's all there.
There's something for everyone there, mm-hmm. for sure.
So I think we've talked about cosplay, but there's so many other aspects of the community, and I find myself, I think, being alike in what you said and finding like a place in all of those different communities. Like, it's hard for me to define myself as one thing, and I as a creative, I need a variety. So sometimes I'll be really into making costumes or cosplaying. But now, you know, we've just started this podcast, and so I've felt really creatively charged by doing something like this. So I've trying to dive more into the podcast and content, YouTube community. Yeah. But then there's other times where I'm like, I'm going to read all the Star Wars books back to back to back. And so I'm going to reach out and find the Star Wars book community. I got a 3D printer a couple years ago, so I was like, I'm gonna make all the props. Like, that's just me as a person. But I think like, I've never felt, you know, we've mentioned the negativity that we can find ourselves in, especially as women, but I have never had a really negative experience finding a place within those subsets. I think there's always going to be, you know, for every loud negative person, there are going to be 10 more really helpful, positive, uplifting people in those spaces.
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely a matter of like, what do you want to give your time and attention to, right? Because you could fight with people all day long about Star Wars online. Like, they're there. If you want to find them, go to the most recent Star Wars post. There's 500 people complaining, right? But outside of that, of all the content creators and just fans and artists and like everyone else that contributes to the conversation, like, you're going to find people that like that super niche character, that super niche book. You're going to find someone because the community is so big now that there really is like something for everyone. And then you just have to focus on those people, right? Like, it focus on the people that like what you like and find those people and, you know, make friendships with those people. Don't focus on the ones that are just like negative Nancys, you know, like, that's all you can do.
Absolutely. Something I've noticed in the last few years, especially, that I think has really helped the Star Wars community, and this was something that I had kind of complained about or had been thinking about a lot since joining TikTok and joining these online spaces. And especially when you would see, like, for example, when the Disney Plus started releasing their Marvel television series, I feel like the Marvel fandom really blew up. And not that it wasn't huge before that, but I feel like the official accounts and like the actual like PR and marketing teams of those companies were really involved and engaged with the fans, kind of playing up to those fans who were making all these crazy theories and seeing like mutuals of mine and people that I follow that I really admire getting invited to premieres to these shows and these movies mm-hmm. were so cool. And I felt that that was a corner of Star Wars that was lacking. And really, I think around the time of Celebration Anaheim and when the Kenobi show was coming out, I don't know what Lucasfilm did, but they did like a whole overhaul of their marketing and PR team because the Star Wars swagmen, as we affectionately call them, yeah. on, you know, TikTok and Twitter, they really started to become a lot more involved and engaged with the fans. And I think it feels like it took a really positive turn in the fandom and really it made me in particular feel a lot closer to the fandom, knowing that things like the people that are involved in making these things are really paying attention to what the fans are enjoying and what the fans are saying. And, you know, we are recording this on the eve of the first episode of The Acolyte. So we've just gotten to see like so many of our friends getting to go and do round tables with Leslie Headland and Dave Filoni and getting invited to the premiere and getting sent like PR packages to promote the show, which I feel like is something that we wouldn't see, you know, 2 or 3 years ago with Star Wars in particular. And I think that has really made a huge impact. And also seeing how much the creatives and even the actors, how much more involved they've become with the community online and at conventions. Yeah. It like gives my heart to know that like we're all a part of this thing and it's so great.
Yeah. I think it's so special that we've kind of, it's like, I'm trying to see how I want to word this, but it feels like we're friends with Star Wars now. Like versus just a company or like a corporation. And like obviously Star Wars still is that, but like you're saying with like bringing in smaller creators and, you know, like commenting on memes on Twitter and like using those different like trends on TikTok and stuff like that, like it's definitely made me feel closer to Star Wars. And I feel like it's made the community kind of like get a little looser, I think. I think mm-hmm. it's kind of helped people mm-hmm. kind of like, let's have fun. Like, this is just a silly little TikTok or a silly little comment or whatever. But it really makes you feel, I think, closer to Star Wars and also closer to like the other fans because you're also interacting with those people in the comments or like different stuff like that. So I really do enjoy that too, that they've been a lot more like active within the conversation, not just like, okay, post and like people can comment, but they don't really engage. So that I think is really cool.
Yeah, especially it's just so wonderful to see those smaller critters because, you know, as much as like I think that we partially because we joined the creative space at the right time, you know, during COVID when everybody was at home online, a lot of us jumped on TikTok then, and a lot of us found success because of the timing. But to see, to know that creators who perhaps have been at odds with the algorithm, because of course, there's no telling whether or not something, you know, someone could work really hard on something and just see no digital reward, rather, but you know, it's so cool to see, to just have that, you know, a team that Lucasfilm has created to specifically interact with fans and say, like, we see you, we love you. You know, seeing, you know, lots of, I saw so many people in the past week that, you know, totally, to so deserving of receiving those PR packages and getting the follows and the likes and the comments. Like, you know, I've been so fortunate in the things that I've been able to get from this, the 4 years that I've been doing it. And I've always, one of my thoughts has always been like, how can I give back? How can I give my opportunities to other people? And unfortunately, I have definitely found my space myself in association with people who were not thinking that kind of way and not wanting to share. And so it's just really nice to have to see that acknowledgement, the recognition, because this community, for all of the yucky stuff that we talk about sometimes, like it really is so beautiful and so warm and welcoming. And yeah, it feels good.
There was a story I had thought about when I was talking about we've got, you know, at Star Wars Celebration, you have, there's all these people that are like Star Wars adjacent, like Christina Ariel, who hosts the High Republic show, who is awesome. I remember two friends that we went to Celebration with in Anaheim saw her walking, you know, just the convention floor, and they went up and said hi to her. And she was like, "Oh, did you see me on stage?" And they were like, "No, we love the High Republic show." And she was like so like shell shocked that she was like, "Oh my God, people actually watch that." But I love that we have so many people in the Star Wars space that are these like cool figures that are able to bring us such cool stuff, like Kristen Baver too, who hosts the Star Wars show or whatever they like the normal Star Wars weekly show, but she's also like become a, like a published author with Star Wars, and we've been able to talk to just in our few episodes that we've released, we've been able to talk to people who are like published with Star Wars too, which is so cool. And it's like, I don't know, there's something about it.
Shout out to Star Wars authors, by the way. They are so freaking cool. They
And
are
so
so,
engaging.
yeah, so, and it's like just like Swagman, you know, so down to earth, so, you know, ready to have a conversation with fans. A lot of them are fans themselves. Mike Chen, I don't think that he could have ever imagined that he would publish a Star Wars book in his lifetime. Mark Thompson too, who I've been lucky enough to sit on a panel with, like he's super cool. The Star Wars book world is just, you know, even if you don't have the time or resources to read the Star Wars books, because I get it, like that's an investment of time and money. Like, go look those guys up. Support their stuff if you can. They're so cool. It was so
Even
nice to
some of
see them
the
at the Acolyte. Yeah.
actors too, like we got to talk to Iman Esfandi and Diana Lee Incinato like at Fan Expo, and Vanessa Marshall, like they're all like so cool and they're so open to just like chat with you. And like we talked about this before, but I loved seeing Iman's like deep dive into the Star Wars fandom and posting about it online. And even today, when we're recording this, Star Wars posted a video with Amandla getting a message from Hayden Christensen, and
Oh my God,
them
yeah.
being literally so excited because Amandla has said that Revenge of the Sith is her favorite movie. And like, I'm just like, one of us, one of us.
Yeah.
I loved
Yeah,
that.
she
That
was
was so
like
fun.
freaking out, but I was like, that's so real.
I was
That's
like,
so
yep,
real. But I mean,
that's me.
even Hayden, you know, watching all of his stuff from his scenes in Kenobi and then Ahsoka, like he did his homework. And he is like, oh yeah, I went and I watched all the shows with my daughter and I'm all caught up and I know all this stuff. And it's like, that's cool. Like, you know, it's nice to, you know, and he, you know, he has allegedly, I don't know, someone reached out to me recently and was like, hey, by the way, Hayden knows who you are and watches your content. And I was like, that's weird. Like, you're so like,
wait, what did he see?
They are, and Diana Lee follows me, and like, so they know. They know who we are too, which is like even scarier than just Star Wars the account knowing who we are.
Yeah. That's funny.
They're everywhere.
Yeah. But that's like such a cool thing that even like 10 years ago really was not even possible, right? Like you could meet these people at a convention, but you'd get maybe 2-3 minutes to like talk to them. Mm-hmm. But now with like the internet and with like having these spaces online, I feel like you're able to have like a deeper conversation and like a more meaningful conversation with these people. Just like the opportunities that have come out of conventions and like panels and like all the stuff that goes into the new projects. It's like Star Wars has never been more alive. And I think that's so funny when people are like, Star Wars is dead. I'm like, you could walk down the street and like literally start a conversation with almost anyone about Star Wars. Like, even if you're not a fan, like you hear about it, like you see it, you're around it. So,
and not just the adults. Like,
yeah,
the amount of children, it's, and I feel like it has been a while since there has been an easily accessible outlet for young children to be exposed to Star Wars. The amount of little kids who know and love watching Young Jedi Adventures is so sweet. You know, I did like kindergarten zoo camp last year, and all my little kids were like, we love Nubs and we love Yoda and all these, like, and they would just go home and watch the show. And like, I think you've had that same experience, Brooke, with your job, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely have with the little ones. I had one kid who was like, Miss Brooke, do you know what the Force is? And I was like, do I? And then he talked about him and this other little girl. They would like always pretend to be Master Yoda, and they would have their little lightsabers. God. And it was so cute. And I'm just like, I love it so much that there's literally Star Wars out there for everyone. So when we say Star Wars is for everyone, you might not like everything. You might not relate or like make a connection with every single thing that, but there is something for everyone out there.
Yeah. I think that's what makes the Star Wars fandom so special, is that we're like on now our fourth generation of Star Wars fans, which is wild to say, but we've had, you know, original trilogy, prequel, sequel, and now we've kind of got this like Mandoverse, High Republic, like Young Jedi Order, like all that stuff is kind of almost like the fourth wave. And Star Wars isn't really showing any signs of slowing down. And I think that's really cool because, like you're saying, there's something for everyone. And there's also like, it's really special that this can connect fans of all ages. Like you can have a conversation with someone that was 8 years old when the first movie came out, or you can talk to someone that is currently 8 years old, and you can find this kind of middle ground, and like you can connect to people that you've just met just because you have something in common. And I think that's one of the coolest things about being a Star Wars fan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, to kind of wrap this conversation up, because Star Wars is such a vast canon and there's so many different things and there's so many different outlets that you could do, like you could join, and so many different ways you can become a part of the community. It might be a little bit intimidating for a new fan. So I wanted to ask you, what do you think, if you had advice for a new fan, maybe they wanted to become more involved in the community, they really enjoy Star Wars, but they want to, you know, go online and see what people are saying about it, or they want to get involved in the community in some way. Do you have any advice for those kind of people?
Ooh, I would say first, I would say start with like online. So I would say you don't have to make like a Star Wars account, but just enter the world of Star Wars TikTok. I think that is the best kind of entry point. I feel like TikTok has kind of the most fun, lighthearted approach to being a Star Wars fan, and you can find very like niche things. So if you want to talk about the Clone Wars, you want to talk about High Republic, or you want to talk about the Old Republic, you will find kind of like a subset community on there, and just, you know, start interacting on there, liking, commenting, following people on there. And then as soon as you can, I know this is definitely like depends on the accessibility of it, but I would really recommend going to a Comic-Con. It doesn't have to be San Diego or New York or even Celebration, just your local convention. You know, see who's going to be there, like see what, if there's a cosplay presence, if you want to maybe try cosplaying, but just go and kind of like immerse yourself in that nerdy space. And you will see that, oh, there are people that are like me that are obsessed with this book or obsessed with this movie or whatever it is. And that's a great way to make new friends. Cause I know now more than ever, it's kind of hard to like meet people in real life, but I feel like a comic convention is a great way to do that. And it's so easy to start a conversation if someone's like looking at the same merch booth as you, or if someone's wearing a t-shirt that you like, or they have a cosplay that you like. It's so easy to start a conversation at a Comic-Con because like we're all there for the same reason, right? So yeah, I think I would suggest that. And then above all, just have fun. Don't take it too seriously. Enjoy that there's so much you're going to learn. Like, don't feel like you have to learn it all before you can be a part of the conversation. I've learned so much from just meeting people and being like, hey, like, I've never read that book. Can you tell me about it? Or I've been thinking about playing this game, but like, is there something I should do before then? Just ask. Most people online are nice and friendly and will help you. And yeah, just have fun and don't take it too seriously. I think that would be the main thing.
Yeah, find a Discord server, find a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. There's literally, it exists. If you can think of it, it probably exists already, which has been so nice. And then, you know, I've met people through those groups and I'll see them be like, oh, I'm going to this con. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that they were local to me. And so it's like, I'll say hi if I see you there. And it's really cool. But Sawyer, do you have anything else to add? Any more advice for the people?
No, I mean, I think that's really good advice. I think definitely don't be afraid to find that community, because I think that when it can be a little intimidating when you see people posting about like toxicity or negativity. And I think that to some extent, any community has that, just because we live in this world where you can hide behind words and a faceless profile picture. So, you know, you have to be prepared, but for that, but I wouldn't shy away from it. You know, like the best thing that I have ever done with my platform is encouraged people to be proud of the things they like and the stories that they want to talk about and share their opinions in a space where, you know, I am very proud of my Discord server in specific, where we have, you know, almost 800 people in there sharing their Star Wars opinions. And it's not that we all agree on the same thing, but, you know, it's just there are communities out there. There are absolutely spaces that will welcome you with open arms, no matter who you are and where you're from. And yeah, I mean, I think it's so, so worth it. I think it's been so worthwhile for all of us. And you never know what it leads to, because I didn't know we would have this show, and I could not be prouder of this show in particular, you know, like, so yeah, that's my two cents on that.
Yay. Okay. So we have some rapid fire questions we'd love to ask.
Yes.
Of some of your favorite things. I think we've got mostly Star Wars questions, but some wild card things in here too. Okay. And then we'll wrap up with our little listener question. So yes. Favorite Star Wars movie, or a top three if you'd like, if you feel comfortable sharing.
Revenge of the Sith is my favorite.
Amazing. Do you have favorite Star Wars characters? It could be Legends or canon or both.
Let's do both, because I know you're a big Legends fan.
Yeah. So canon is, this sounds a little silly, but it's pretty much Anakin and anything Anakin adjacent. So Anakin's droid, R2, Anakin's wife, Padme, Anakin's Padawan, Ahsoka, like just the Clone Wars squad. And like, obviously I love Obi-Wan, but Anakin slash Vader is like my all-time fave. But I love R2-D2. I love that little droid. I think he's so sassy and so chaotic. And like, he's been through it all, which I think is something that's often like slept on. Like, he's seen the entirety of the Skywalker saga pretty much. So I think that's really cool. My favorite Legends character would probably be Mara Jade. I think she's just like, she's such a baddie. I love that she really like matches and pushes Luke, because we don't really see that in canon. With a character that kind of like vexes him, kind of like, just like, I feel like they're a really good like counterpart to each other. Mm-hmm. And she's just like a badass on her own, right? Not just because she's with him, but even before him and after him, like she's her own person. And I think that's really cool and like something that really speaks to me. And that's why I love cosplaying her too. But yeah, those are my faves.
Nice. Do you have a favorite Star Wars musical theme?
Ooh. I really like Across the Stars because I love Anakin and Padme's relationship. And I think it's really beautiful how it like starts off as like a love song, and then it introduces the Imperial March and kind of gets into that like darker tone. I think that's like really impressive with how they did that. But Princess Leia's theme, every time I hear it, I cry. Like, I think it's just one of the most beautiful, like moving pieces that John Williams has done. And oh my God, like when I watched the Kenobi series and they like really held back from using any of the characters' themes until the very end, when Obi-Wan is like telling Leia, like, you're just like your mother and father. And then they started playing the theme. I was like, oh my God, like
a mess. Yeah.
But it was so good. And like the Star Wars music is such a huge part of the storytelling. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think those two probably like speak to me the most.
Nice. Curveball, sort of. What's your favorite theme park?
Ooh. I mean, this is going to be kind of a basic answer, but I think it's Disneyland. I'm very much a, like, I want to go enjoy the view and eat the food, like eat all the snacks and like just chill out. Like, I'm not a big like roller coaster person, or like, I'm not really crazy about like the shows and stuff. I like just kind of to be in a fantasy world, I think is really cool. And I like that Disneyland has like, you know, the different little themed areas, and like,
it's magical.
Yeah, exactly. Magical vibes.
So yeah, I love that about Disney. I love that about Disney so much. Like, it can be a chill experience if you're not a big like thrill ride person. Like, how I convinced my boyfriend to go with me, because he hadn't been since he was a child, was I put on Disney food blog YouTube videos, and I was like, look at all of the food we can eat. And he was like, all right, you got me, I'm sold. And then he went this year for a day with his family. I couldn't go, so he went without me. I'm holding that over his head until he brings me again. But like, he was like, I had a great time, my parents had a great time, we just like ate great food all day. And like, yeah, it's a great experience. It's awesome.
I have the opposite issue. I love a chill Disney day. I've been a pass holder for like 5 years now at Worlds, not at Land. Because I went to college in Florida, so that was, it used to be a quick little jaunt up to Orlando for me. So I love a chill, like sit in the park, eat the food. We don't have to go on all the rides. Like, the rides haven't changed. Like, they're the same. But my boyfriend is like, We're planning our trip right now. We're going next week. Like, this is not a few day weeks away. We're going next week. And today he's like, should we do this? Should we book this? Should we go there? Oh, this is new. Oh my, I'm like,
calm down. We'll see what we see. Yeah. I feel that. Cause like, definitely, I think it's different if like, you can't go all the time, or you're bringing someone who hasn't seen a lot of things. And yeah, okay, let's get there like at a rope drop and like, let's see everything that we can see. But like, I'm very lucky that I live in San Diego, so it's only like an hour and a half drive. So I used to be an annual pass holder before COVID. So yeah, we would just like drop in, do some pin trading, have lunch, watch the fireworks and leave.
And I think it's easier to do in California, but
yeah, because,
like, you know, it's not, you know, if you to go to Disney World, you have to go to this isolated area.
Yeah, it really is its own world.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't pick a wild card question. Do you have one off the top of your head, Brooke?
I was gonna say, other than Star Wars, what is your favorite other fandom to be a part of?
Ooh. I would probably say, I mean, I think it's still considered a fandom, but like more of like a music scene of like emo and like pop punk music. Mm-hmm. So I grew up again in San Diego. So this is where a lot of like Blink 182 started, and a lot of like this kind of pop punk late 90s, early 2000s bands started. And then I grew up going, like, my middle school, high school years was all about, like, Warped Tour, like, Vans Warped Tour. So
yep.
I just have fond memories of, like, me and my friends and my cousins going and, like, seeing bands that I literally can't see anymore now, just, like, price-wise. But, like, Paramore, like, I love Paramore so much. Seeing, like, A Day to Remember. And a lot of these bands that just kind of, like, formed my... like childhood and like young adulthood, I guess. And that has kind of, I feel like it's more so on TikTok, because anything like kind of music based usually kind of lives on like more video platforms and stuff. But just like keeping up with the bands that I've listened to for a long time, and then even like finding new bands and stuff. I'm a part of like kind of like the Sleep Token and Bad Omens, and that's kind of like the newer emo-ish music. But there's a lot of like lore and storytelling to a lot of these bands now, which is cool, because there's kind of like, you know, kind of how Swifties have like the Easter eggs, and they have like, oh, what, like they said this, or they wore this, or like, what does that mean? And like, what album are we getting next? And like that kind of thing. Like enjoying a album with a fandom, I think, is really cool. So that's probably like my second biggest fandom. Isn't really like a franchise, but it's just like emo music.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's like definitely wild card question and good wild card answer. So
yeah.
So our last thing that we'll do before we wrap up is we'll answer a listener question. And this one's a fun one. One comes from Annie K. Seeley on Twitter. And they asked, what fictional creature would you want most as a pet?
In any fandom, or are we doing just
I think, Star Wars? Yeah, it could be. I mean, I know my answer will come from Star Wars, but I think the answer could come from anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's going to have to be Nyx, the furry axolotl from the upcoming Star Wars Outlaws game. Yes. That was my immediate, you know. Because I'm a herpetologist, and then like I get a furry one that I can pet. Yeah, sign me up. Sign me up.
I would probably say a dragon, but I don't think it would be my pet. I think I would be its pet.
Are we talking like honest. Game of Thrones universe dragon, or just like a dragon? Any dragon.
Any dragon. Like I also love lizards. I grew up having lizards. I have a bearded dragon right now, and I have two newts. But I've always loved the lore of dragons, of how they're like extremely cunning and smart and ancient, and like I think it's crazy that to even be able to talk to a dragon is considered like you must be like have this insane willpower and like strength and intelligence. And like, I just think it would be cool to fly around on a dragon.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. I would pick a Lothcat.
Oh, cute.
I'm a cat girly, and
yeah,
I have my own Lothcat that is a menace. But I really want to get a tattoo eventually, inspired by my cat, and I think I want to get a Lothcat, but that is looks like my cat.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was thinking more like when I answered the question, I was thinking more like I am considering the fact that I already have Potato, like she's there, so I'm going to have another, you know, but you know.
That's valid. I mean, I would have picked Grogu, but he's not really like a pet.
Is that ethical? I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I was like, no, I'm going to go with like a less sentient creature.
Yeah.
But Isabella, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's a really great conversation. I would love if you could tell the people where they can find you and if you have any cool things coming up that you'd like to share that you're working on.
Yeah, so you can find me pretty much everywhere online at Isabella.Amidala. So that's on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. I also have a YouTube that I'm hopefully going to be posting more actively on. You can also check out my podcast with my husband, is Punch a Chewy Podcast. We're on YouTube and anywhere you listen to podcasts. And then we didn't really talk about it too much. Well, I don't think we talked about it at all, but I also started a fandom and fashion magazine that is dedicated to all things fandom. So that's been taking up a lot of my time in the best way. I've really wanted to create a safe space that's kind of more old school. So like old school magazine format, mm-hmm. With like new school thinking of like inclusivity and community, and not so much of this is who you should look like, this is who you should be, this is what you should like, but like what is the community like? What is the community up to? So yeah, that's been kind of like my baby, my passion project that I've been working on, and we're doing bi-monthly releases. So by the time this comes out, I think we'll have our fourth issue out. So you can check that out. It's Stargirl without an I, so Stargrl magazine. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok, and also at our website. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, we certainly wanted to talk about it, and I'm glad that we gave you the space, because it's a really cool project and everybody should absolutely check it out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's so cool. I'm like, I love seeing all the people that I follow being a part of it.
Yeah.
And I love seeing like the process of you all putting it together. It's so cool. And I love, it is very like bringing it back to older ways of interacting with the fandom. So that's so cool.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, folks, that is our show.
Thanks for tuning in. Check us out on YouTube and Spotify, and plug the like and subscribe, and check us out on all our socials. Most of them are Yapsesh Pod, except for TikTok, because Yapsesh Pod was taken and whatever. Maybe we'll get that username eventually. But yeah, this has been another awesome conversation, and we'll yap with you next time.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye.